Welcome to the Discover You podcast with your host, James Hooper, spiritual and personal discovery author, speaker, teacher, and coach. James helps you find who you were created to be and guides you to the most fulfilling life you can experience. On this podcast, we'll guide you through discovering what energizes and motivates you, why you think the way you think, act the way you act, and react the way you react. We'll learn together how to grow through spiritual truths to become the best version of yourself possible. If you haven't yet, please subscribe so you won't miss an episode. Also, you can go to your favorite podcast platform and leave a review and rating. This will help others find us so they can begin their own growth journey.
Well, welcome back to the Discover You podcast. I am your host, James Hooper, and I'm so glad to be with you again this week. And we're going to continue the second part of the conversation I had with Dr. Wayman Ming Jr. He is the General Bishop of the Pentecostal Church of God, an international organization in 66 nations around the world. And they're about to step into their next century of existence, and he's leading them back to their missional roots. And so we're going to hear more about his ideas about leadership. Also, he's going to help define the word missional for us. And then he's going to talk to us about how the next century of the Pentecostal Church of God is what it's going to look like. Be sure and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss another episode. Be sure and share it with your friends on your social media platforms. Let them know that there is awesome content like this. There are people being interviewed. You're learning information about people that will help you and help you grow as a leader and help you grow as a person. Also, there's actually a place on the podcast description that has a link that you can financially support the podcast. We already have supporters that are helping us faithfully every month. They're donating to the podcast to help us defray the cost of production and distribution and going to do interviews and those sort of things. I traveled from Austin all the way to Bedford to Dr. Ming's offices so that we could do this interview face-to-face. Also, equipment costs, things like that. So those are just things that are involved in doing a podcast. I want to do a top-notch job, and I want it to sound really good and be good content as well as good orally, you know, listening to the sound of it. The website for the Discover You podcast is discoveryou-book.com, discoveryou-book.com. There's a link there for the first chapter of the book. There's a link there for the 70-question assessment for the Discover You teaching. And then there's also the link to order the book. Then the media page has the tab for the teaching videos and the podcast. So don't forget that. I'm going to get back into the interview with Bishop Ming. We're going to pick it back up to where we left off last week. And I hope you really enjoy it.
And so I was passionate about those types of things, developing leaders, developing churches, helping healthy churches grow, coaching churches, was able to establish a church coaching organization, a 501c3 called Exceed International, which was basically about empowering leaders to exceed and empowering people to find their gifts and callings. And so it certainly has been a discovery process through the way.
So you were serving as general secretary, COO, basically, and then there was a time of transition in your life.
Yeah, that was a very important time for us. Kimberly and I certainly did feel like that our season of leadership as general secretary was over. And so in 2011, at our general convention, we resigned our position and felt like the Lord was getting ready to do something missional in our lives. Just to be candid with you, we felt like that we were serving in denominational leadership, but had lost our missional passion and our missional hearts in reaching lost people and sharing our faith. And I like to say it this way: before you can be a missional leader, you have to be a missional person first. And so we wanted to return as you used the word renaissance, we wanted to experience a renaissance or a reawakening of a missional heart. And so we moved to California, and I became the executive pastor for Higher Vision Church, which is a very vibrant, growing church of many thousand people. And over a six-year period, watched it triple in size and really invested my life in reaching the lost and helping others to have that same calling and passion.
I find it interesting. I've noticed in several instances where people that were serving in one role, they were doing well in that role. It wasn't that they weren't good at that, but they felt they needed to make a change. And when they did, they went into something that was more in tune with who they really are. And then it just kind of benefits everyone around them. When people find the place where they excel, when they're gifted to do, then it just really benefits everyone around them. And it's something that really helps a lot. Now, I'm gonna ask you a question that may be dumb to people, but I'm not afraid to ask dumb questions. Is there a simple definition for missional? What is there a simple way you can define missional? We hear the term. Maybe there's listeners that don't understand what missional means.
That's a really great question, James, that you pose, because that word is used, but it's actually a very simple word. And I think if you look at what the mission of Christ is in Scripture, you'll find kind of the same definition. It might be reworded differently, but it's basically reaching the lost and equipping and sending the found. You know, your mission as a Christ follower is to reach the lost, you know, share your faith, introduce people to Christ, and then once they come to Christ, equip them to live for Jesus and do the very same thing that you did, send them, you know, to be missional themselves. And so when we talk about one mission, you know, one movement in the PCG, it's the awareness and recognition that we all have the same mission, and that's to reach the lost and equip and send the found.
You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that Jesus, when he read from Isaiah, when he was in the temple after he came back of the 40 days in the wilderness, went into the temple and read the scroll, when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor." But that was his mission statement. He was actually making his mission statement. So actually we should adopt that, and that's our mission statement now because we're carrying on what he did. So you're serving there in California. What city was it again?
Valencia.
Okay. And so you're serving there. Things are going good. You're happy. The church is growing. And then all of a sudden, something happens and you're going to a general convention. Did you have any idea that that might happen, that you might be brought in? Has the Lord been speaking anything to you to kind of prepare you, or was it just out of the blue?
No, it was a surprise. It was a shock. In fact, there was no indication that the general bishop would be resigning from that position. So just about everyone, I think, going into the convention expected him to continue. Even though he had some physical problems, he had been serving for 2 years. And so there was nothing to indicate that there would be a change, let alone a desire on my part or my wife's part to even serve in that role, because we were very excited to be in Valencia, California, working with my brother. My mom had just moved, to 20 minutes from us. My other brother and his family were there. It was really the first time in our lives that we were close to family. Nieces, nephews, all of that. And so when Bishop Nathan resigned, that's when God showed up and started knocking on the door the night before the election. And we wrote down or actually typed out as fast as we could for several hours what he just began to download into our hearts about one mission, one movement, that the PCG was entering into a divinely providential moment where we would move from a first century PCG into a second century PCG. And what would that first chapter of a second century PCG look like? Would it be reformational? Would it be transformational or missional? And that was on a Thursday night, and on a Friday morning, we were elected to serve in this role. And so God divinely put his seal and stamp on that process.
One of the things that I find interesting, and I'll have you talk about this, is actually personally God was preparing you for this there in your neighborhood. You were kind of going through a renewal of your missional outlook and things like that because of the fact that you'd served in higher level positions that didn't have, you weren't boots on the ground and stuff like that. Talk about how God had prepared you, because it's interesting. He prepared you for this time. He prepared you for it because he wanted to do something new in the denomination, but he was having to do it through you. A lot of times, the fact that John Maxwell talks about, you can't really teach people about something you don't know about. You can't really lead people into something that you're not, you don't know. And so he was leading you personally through some of this stuff.
Yeah, that was very key. For 6 years serving there in Valencia, my passion became, again, learning how to fish for men and women, becoming a missional person. And so I would engage in as often as I could in sharing my faith. I started a very intentional focus on reaching my neighborhood and meeting my neighbors and connecting with them about their personal lives, which eventually through relational equity became an opportunity to share faith, and was able to lead some of my neighbors to the Lord. And, you know, the Lord was doing something missionally in my heart. I call it spiritual heart surgery. He was doing some spiritual heart surgery in me because he knew what was ahead, and I couldn't be a missional leader if I wasn't a missional person. I couldn't call for one mission, one movement, if I didn't embody that in my personal life. And so what's fun is when you're able to serve the Lord and serve out of practice and not theory. Preach out of practice and not theory. Lead out of practice and not theory. It brings integrity to who you are and to what you do.
So that's kind of where you're going now with, you're trying to lead us this organization. We don't like to call it a denomination. It's a movement, because it's how it started. In its infancy, it was just a movement. It was a bunch of people that came together, and God was moving among them, and they had a vision to do something. And so that's where you're heading, for us to go back to the beginning and do our first works and that sort of thing. So what your vision is you're trying to pour into the districts and the churches and the people to adopt that whole missional mindset. Because, you know, to reach their neighbors, and because of the fact that, you know, we've, for so long, we've gotten to where it was just, we came around each other and gathered around each other and gathered around doctrine and gathered around, when it's, when our focus should be reaching the lost and helping the poor and doing those things. So talk a little bit about some of the initiative that you're doing, the One Mission, One Movement initiative, some of the practicalities of that.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought up the fact that we were birthed in 1919 as a missional movement, which is very true. Our fathers of the faith, our men and women who played such a significant role, had a real passion to take the gospel to those outside of Pentecost, to In fact, our motto was aggressive evangelism, and we started planting churches right from the beginning and creating regions of influence and doing foreign missionary work. So from the beginning, it was about being a missional movement. We were even apprehensive about writing down what we believed because we didn't want to create discord. We wanted to create unity and just reach people for Christ with the power of the Spirit. And so really, as we look now in 2019, that is our focus. How do we once again create a movement, a grassroots movement of people who are just reaching the lost and equipping and sending the found? It's not a challenge just for districts or just for pastors or even leaders in churches. It's for every person. Here's what I know to be true, that when we're converted, spiritually born again, God places his seed in us. It's 1 John 3:9, that God's seed is placed in us so that we cannot continue to sin because we reflect him in our lives. And so there is a natural desire. There's a spiritual DNA that propels us as Christ followers to want to introduce others to him, to share who Jesus is in our lives with others. That's why we feel guilty or sad if we're not doing it. It's not because God's trying to beat us over the head with a stick, but it's because his Holy Spirit, his spiritual DNA, his sovereignty exists in our lives, calling us to that. We look for that. We want to do that. We desire to do that. So when we talk about one mission, one movement, it's not a slogan, you know, or a vision, visionary theme. It's really a connection point with who we are as followers of Christ. Now, with that said, I think we can very clearly create some planning and strategic initiatives that will help us to do that better, helping to train people how to share their faith, providing opportunities where they can unite as, you know, with together as one movement to do that. One of the things that we're working on right now is something we're calling Impacting Eternity. And it's a Impacting Eternity day or weekend that is very similar to the Global Outreach Day in May for the body of Christ as a whole, universal. But it's a time where we're going to just ask every person on that day or weekend to share their faith with someone. Every church to do something in outreach on that weekend outside the walls of the church. And every district or state to maybe select a city in their region and come together and do something in that city for the glory of God that will raise the awareness of God's love. So that's an initiative. Another initiative that we're implementing this next year is something we're calling the Forerunner Experience. And it is a 12-week online coaching experience for 17 to 30-year-olds. And the whole focus is to help them to discover themselves or to discover their calling with the hope that when they pray that prayer, I'll be what you want me to be and do what you want me to do, that it will engage them in ministry. And maybe even as a minister in the PCFG, carrying credentials for fivefold ministry. So that's another initiative we're working on. And then we could share several, but probably a third one would be our ministry intensives. We've developed three tracks of training, one for new ministry, one for church planting, and one for church coaching. And so this next year, we're making that available to anyone in any church. If they want training, they want to be equipped for new ministry, whether it's youth or worship or pastoring, they can engage in it. There's an online presence and an on-site presence. People who want to plant churches can get that. And then the leaders and pastors who are already in the trenches leading can get some coaching, which is what you're doing with this podcast, some coaching that will encourage them to grow their churches.
So he's kind of speaking my language, because it's my passion for people to discover how God gifted them, because I've experienced it myself. And once you've experienced and you understand how God gifted you, then you're passionate about it and you can help other people. And it actually, that passion feeds over into other areas of your life. And especially in the ministry, if you know what your giftings are, and you know, of course, this is a shameless plug from a book and stuff because it's my podcast, but you know, but once you understand your giftings, specifically the motivational gifts, because what I say, what energizes you is what motivates you. And so when you discover what energizes you and then you follow that, then you can find a place in the body where you belong and you can be more effective that way. You can have some semblance of success in different places, but when you find where you're most motivated to, your passion will then feed it and you won't have to be motivated by any outside source or anything like that. So once we discover these things and we take these young ministers and teach them and help them to discover their callings and things like that, I think it's going to be very effective for the kingdom of God. And I know just from the time I've known Bishop, I know he's not doing this just to necessarily grow the Pentecostal Church of God. Because the Pentecostal Church of God, like you stated, started to reach non-Pentecostals. I'm really excited about what God's doing in the organization. My dad came in 1969 as a pastor in Garland, Texas. And so I've been around it most of my life. I was six then. And so I've been around it most of my life. A few years I was in other organizations, but I came back and this is my home. And so I just really have a heart for it. And I saw what it was when we were in it. It was a family. It was kind of it was something that we joined together with common interest and did outreaches together and did things together. It's just one of those things that I'm just excited about that, seeing what's happening. There's strategic things God's doing in this world because of the fact that the enemy is fighting so hard and everybody sees society is at odds with each other and things are just such chaos and turmoil. But that's indicative of God's hand. He's working. He's working in the background, and he's actually got people that are ready to step out and to bring the light. Isaiah 60, God gave my wife and I Isaiah 60 years ago as our scripture. He says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon you. Darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, or gross darkness the people, but you shall arise, your light shall arise." So it's time, I believe it's that time for us. When you have a heart for the world, when you have a heart for people, you have a heart to be missional, to do outreach, to underserved people groups and this sort of thing, then it just really would bring God to the world and bring the light of His glory to them.
Thank you for listening to the Discover You podcast with your host, James Hooper. This podcast exists to help you grow both spiritually and personally. If you enjoyed it and think others could benefit from the content provided, please go to your favorite podcast platform and leave a review and rating. This will help others find us more easily. Also, if you haven't already, subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Thank you for joining us for the Discover You podcast.